Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So you all stand up.
Happening, everybody. The weather treating you good? Everything treating you good? I should say, how was your great 4th of July? Well, we always call it Hamburger and Frankfurter Day, Firecracker Day. We didn't know. When I was small, we didn't know nothing about what 4th of July was about, you know. Never knew it was for the invasive species Freedom Day. Didn't know that. It was 4th of July was just, all it was hamburger, frankfurter, hot dogs, and firecrackers. That's all it was for us. I don't know how it was for the rest of you. That's how it was for us. But anyway, I know a lot of stopped at the store one day, and I seen Indians loaded up on hamburger, 12 packs of Pepsis and everything, you know. Man, I know they're broke today, spending all that money. But, you know, today I wanted to talk a little bit about violence, you know, and different things that apparently affects us, you know. And let me turn Vimber on, and then we'll go from there, okay? You know you really turn me on.
I know that. You ain't got to remind me.
Vimber said, we're related so good we could trade parts and nobody will even know it. I don't know about that. Yeah. that'd be a trip, you know. You know?
Yeah.
Really compatible.
They could do that. I'll let you borrow Huxila for a while, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. If I did that, I might get beaten up, you know. they might use him just for a handle grip or something. You know? But anyway, here we go again. We're starting with X-rated. But go ahead, Vimber.
We better say a prayer before we get started.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Let's be nice. We need a prayer here. We're kind of getting off here.
Oh, Esteban. Well, I'm gonna say a prayer before we get started here. And then whatever happens, happens. Well, at Kunkashla, I'm better. Okay, Luta Chunyako Punkle and not Hunkashla Hedgeton, okay, Wopila Hunka Elkin Jap Hunkashla. Now to Texel, Wakajan, Wakalaki Lenat Hunkashla, Ogano Akir on Setch and Nish Ogano to Set, Yotiak Alva Setch, Lenat Hunkashla Woki. Now to Texel Mitaka Uyon, Hun, Shikabio Hila, Yukon, Nenishno on Econo, Aki Chunke. It chose on Yuzit Hunkashla, Agriving of Yetchel, Tokata Ker, Tekichi Hilakel.
I was just going through some stuff, you know, yesterday or day before. Yeah, it was yesterday morning. I was heading to Sioux Falls, probably about seven. Well, when I left Mission, man, I seen res cops hauling ass east. I said, damn, what the hell? What's going on over there? And anyway, I just cruised. I pulled into Winter, it's about 7 o'clock in the morning, and man, the whole road was blocked with cops. I'm talking about cops galore. And and they had guns drawn, and I seen that a car was wrecked there and close and started looking, and here they was busting Indians, a carload of Indians. It looked like a res cop did a pit maneuver to stop them. He must have been watching a lot of YouTube lately, because remember cops been using pit maneuvers, so some res, because I seen a tore up res cop there, car there.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I mean, they were all ganged up on these four, and young guys too, man, probably 18
yeah.
years old, some young guys. I don't know what the hell some Indians was doing yesterday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, kind of early to just be starting out, you know, but maybe they didn't do nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
They were going to church.
Maybe they didn't, yeah, maybe they didn't do nothing, but I can't believe all the cops, they had feds there too. I seen government plates, you know, black cars, feds, Washichu sheriffs, winter police, state troopers, and res cops.
Yeah.
I didn't know res cops have jurisdiction over there in winter, you know. This was right outside of winter, like about a mile off, still in the city limits, you know. And that car was all tore up, kind of wiped out in the ditch, and there was cop cars all around it in the ditch. Didn't see no ambulance. I figured there was some white guy in there, you know, they would have had ambulance, even if they was a bank robber or something, you know. But
yeah,
shit, they didn't care about them Indians. They were roughing them up and all that stuff. And anyway, a little while later, saw them marching them to the cars, and one res cop was swinging his arm like he hurt his arm hitting the guy too hard or something, you know. You know, and they're really showing off in front of the Washichu, the res cops. They were all there. One was grabbing a hand, some chew, and putting it in his mouth, really eating it, looking tough, you know. Our police, they call themselves Akichita. Now, from what I understand about Akichita, remember, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that's Akichita protects us, protects our people,
protects
our way
protect
of life.
People.
Yeah. I didn't think they go help the Washichu, you know, gang up on us.
That's these Indian cops now, remember, a good example is that, I always go back to that tiger, that young boy in Rapid City that got tired of the cops rapping.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the example again, you know, they do this to these young Indians. It doesn't matter which off-reservation town it is. These Washichus are getting bolder and bolder. You know, back in the day, when, like, American Indian moved, when we went into the town, all the Washichus disappeared, you know. And the Washichuans were the only ones doing business. They didn't want nothing to do with us. They were in the woodworks. And now it's starting to get back to that way again, discrimination. And, you know, even like they're saying, Akichita, shit, I'd be ashamed of it. You know, that Akichita, you're supposed to protect your people. It doesn't matter what they
mean,
do. You know? Yeah.
That means those Indians, they were beaten up together with the Washichu.
Yeah.
You know, I got it on video. I got it on video. I'm gonna put it out there, you know.
That pit maneuver, they're not supposed to do that anymore. You know, it was it went to the Supreme Court, and they ruled that after 5 miles, you're supposed to let it go and just let them pass them down the line, see. And so that's supposed to be illegal. You know, somebody ought to look into that, because a cop did that, and there was a family that he killed because he had the wrong car. So they told him not to do that anymore because, they told him the pit maneuver was outlawed after that. So they're not supposed to be doing that.
Let me tell you about this pit maneuver. It looked like they were coming from the heading west, right?
Yeah.
Like the cop was coming from the west. Okay, let me finish here. And he did the pit maneuver from the west side. And when you leave winter, there's four lanes, and in the middle there's a median of grass, you know, like interstate. And when they hit this car, it caused him to slide in the ditch and go in the eastbound lane. And just like you said, he could have hit somebody coming from the eastbound side.
Yeah.
You see, what I see cops doing pit maneuvers, they're doing it on the freeway, and they're doing it where they knock the car off to the side of the road, not into oncoming traffic. There's a trick to it, you know? But I see, I don't know if they did a pit maneuver or not. I'm just assuming they did, because I looked at the skid marks. I look at how the car, the Lakota's car was, how it was parked. It was facing back east. It was coming west and knocked it in the medium. And anyway, it crashed all up. And there was a black res cop car there with the right side or front side of it all tore up. So that's why I said he must have did a pit maneuver. Because, you know, how would this res cop run in, get tore up, be like that, you know? You know?
Because of that.
But, yeah. You see, so he did this dangerous pit maneuver by knocking that car into the eastbound lane. You don't just do a pit maneuver.
It's not, but on high speed chases, they're not supposed to do that too, Tranchi. Like I say, especially on a high speed chase because of the speed. See, that's
this
totally
is
illegal.
Barely. This is barely 2 miles, not even 2 miles out of the city of Winter. It was still in the city of Winter.
But
you know, what could these four Indians be doing? You know that. I mean, I could see there was no too early to rob a bank, 7 a.m. in the morning. You know, I mean, they probably didn't do nothing, you know.
They're Indians, that's why. He wouldn't do that to no Washitu or, you know, but it's Indians, see. It's open season on Indians again, and nobody's doing nothing about it. Look at our councils. Look at what just happened at Supreme Court level. You know, authorizing Washitu to come in, but these Indians can't go off the reservation to arrest anybody. See, to me, that's, you know, and that's why I say, where's our sovereign powers at when it comes to law and order? Cecilia Fire Thunder kicked the feds off the reservation because they arrested an Indian guy and they beat him up. Do you remember that, Tranchi, that Garnier?
Yeah.
They beat him up. They caught him on the reservation, and they said it was legal. But she made sure they returned him back to the reservation because that's where they arrested him, see? And they had a big old deal about it, but she said they had no jurisdiction of any kind on the reservation. And for them to come on there and have anything done, they have to go through the law and order. So a cop has to go at them to arrest that dude, see? Or they just let the guy go until he goes off the reservation. And that's, she put that out there. She said, the white cops have no business on the reservation and leave our people alone, see? And that's how it's supposed to be. Yep. See, there's a seven major crimes act. And any one of those seven major, whatever it is the only reason why. But even then, it's got to be the FBI that comes in. So I don't know what this Indian cop's doing, you know, doing stuff like that off the reservation. You know, I think the guy's got some mental issues. You know, he probably hates Indians. You know, and he knows he could get by to doing that to Indians, but he can't do it to Washitu. You know, because they'll hang the dude. See, so that's the thing about these.
What gets me is this res cops were hauling ass off the res when I was in Mission. It takes me almost half an hour longer to get to 45 minutes to get to Winter. And when I got to Winter, it just barely was happening there, you know, whatever happened just happened. So whatever was going on over there, these Indians were into some trouble with them for at least an hour by that time, you know. And it was four of them. One of them, they pulled out the car. You see him, he's laughing, you know. You know how he is, he's laughing, cracking up.
not quote
you
know,
yeah.
Just a minute.
I was saying, damn, man, you know, why so many cops? I mean, there was at least 15, 20 cop cars.
Yeah.
You know? And they were from all jurisdictions. There was federal jurisdiction, you know. There was state troopers. There was sheriffs. There was Winter Police Department. There was res cops. What the hell was res cops doing over there? You know, I mean,
yeah.
If they got jurisdiction over there, yeah, that's cool, I guess. But I don't never see them over there. You know, when you go to winter, you're in Washita country, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Because those cops over there, they're the ones that are out there to bully you. You know, those winter cops.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What is a Lakota or Indian police officer doing a pit maneuver on some Indian kids off the reservation? What is that about? You know, somebody's got to look into that, because that in itself don't sound legal. You know, what is going on? Somebody should look into it.
You see how our people are? They watch TV and they want to imitate the Washita. Oh, the news in the last couple months, there's been some busts where they showed pit maneuvers. You know, Washita's catching criminals with pit maneuvers. One was that escape, that guy who escaped with that cop down in Alabama, they busted him with a pit maneuver, you know. So these res cops look for an opportunity to do a pit maneuver. The only thing is they're stupid, you know. Either you don't do a pit maneuver to knock a car into the wrong side of the highway. You can kill people. If you're going to do a pit maneuver, you make sure you're doing it so the car you knock off goes the opposite direction. You know?
It's a pit maneuver. It's a wrong car. And they're not supposed to do that in the first place. What are these guys doing this pit maneuver when they're not supposed to be doing it? That's the thing. They're supposed to pass it on to the next, however long it takes. If they run out of gas, or if they pull off somewhere, or, you know, their car blows up, or, you know. Look at these chases they have on the freeways down here in Los Angeles, everywhere. These cops, they just follow those guys. They don't do that pit maneuver unless the car slows way down. Then they come and they try to do the pit maneuver. But they never do it when it's a high speed. You're never supposed to do that, see? And it's because that cop killed that family by hitting. It wasn't even the right car, but he hit them, see? And that pit maneuver is what killed that family, so they outlawed it. You're not supposed to do that, especially high speed, see? And like in town or something, you know, where it's slow moving, they could do it then to try to get it to stop, see? But they're not, that's illegal as hell. Like on the interstate, they're not supposed to do that. Especially high speed. And if it's an Indian cop doing this, why is he helping the Washita go against these Indian kids? You know? He's not supposed to do that off reservation. He's got no jurisdiction over there.
Should be over there protecting them. Those Indians, they didn't have no guns. They didn't have guns, you know?
What if there's some little kids in that car that got killed? You know, they don't know who's in that car. What is this guy doing, see? That's why I say somebody ought to look into it, because to me it don't sound right, and especially if 50, 60 cops are on there.
And it ain't on the news.
Because it's illegal. That's why they don't put it on the news, see? But they're Indian. Nobody's going to defend it.
Usually when they have something that big time, man, they have, you know, it's on the news, you know.
And they have helicopter coverage, jet coverage, all kinds of air coverage, you know, news people running all over the place. When it comes to something like Lakotas like that, they don't even pay attention to them, you know. And that's why these Wasichus or these guys are doing that, see. It's open season on Indian people again. And it's got to stop, you know. And that's the thing. It's getting too far out of the hand, don't you? So if that is the case where this Indian dude does that off a reservation, how did he get cross-deputized, see? Or what was his reasoning for doing that to those Indian kids, especially if he's a tribal cop? You know, instead of protecting the Lakota, they're acting like Wasichu again. Like you were saying, they come running up, they're acting all bad, putting shoot in their mouth. They try to out Wasichu to Wasichu because they want to fit in. That's what it is. They want to be impressive to the invasive species, as you put it. You know, that's not cool either. That's not cool either. And that's like I say, I always go back to that tiger. Why did these BIA cops give feathers to these Wasichus? These Wasichus ain't never supposed to touch an eagle feather, you know, in the first place. They don't even know what it's for. Yeah. You know, they have no idea what it's for. They should have given those to Tiger. He did a damn good thing by standing up for the Indian youth. You know, it does. It gets tiresome whenever the police harass you. You know, we went through that before Wounded Knee 73. Shit, they used to kick our door down, come in, you know, act like they owned the joint, you know, beat the shit out of us. There's nothing we could do because they were cops.
You know? Yeah.
And that led to the 73, see? Because it was everywhere. That's what happened in Gordon, Nebraska, see?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so the Indians, that was, I guess you could say that's what broke the camel's back, you know, was Yellow Thunder, you know. When they take him and treat him like he's a piece of trash, that, you know, that in itself, having him dance naked in a bar, then the two white boys are walking on the street the next day, you know.
Yeah.
So the Indians had enough. That's why all of that stuff went down. And now it's starting to slowly get back that way again, see? That's the thing. And these Wasichus are ruthless. Next thing you know, like Dick Wilson did, gave the Badlands away for asking for help from the Wasichu, see? We lost a big chunk of land that time. And because of all this stuff going on, nobody paid attention to it. And that, those are things that, you know, it shouldn't happen, but they do, you know. And nobody ever talks about that. You know, that Badlands National Park or whatever it's called now, that's controlled by the state, that's ours. That still belongs to us. One man gave that away. He's not supposed to do that. But they never sent the Oglala Sioux Tribal Bill because Wilson did that, see. And you know how the Wasichu is about sending bills out to these people that they help, you know. You know, so that's the thing. You know, these Wasichus are gonna want more land for doing. And pretty soon, like I said, they're gonna be running all over the reservation. You know, that's they look like a bunch of maggots on the reservation because they're sky. You know what I mean?
That's the thing.
Put a stop to it now before it gets too far. I mean, where's our leaders? Where's all the guys that you know that go after Indians when they say something? Where's all these multi dudes? You know, when it comes to Indian people, you know.
Yeah.
Go. You know, something like that. Go find out what happened and see, you know, because that's for Indian boys. They could have killed any one of them, you know?
Yeah, it looks like you don't give a shit. It ain't on the news. It ain't on Facebook, you know? It's like, I mean, I was up early in the morning heading to Sioux Falls, and that's how I see it. I said, damn, it's kind of early for them to be busting Indians, you know. In, especially young ones, because young ones are in bed still about this time. You know, but, young ones are sleeping later and later, and they don't, you know, they get up and they don't start getting spiffy until the afternoon, you know.
It's at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, just before dark.
Yeah, that's when they finally slap on their baggy pants below the. But these Indians were like, I mean, they weren't long haired Indians, but they were like normal, you know, dressed Indians. They weren't dressed up looking, you know, all gangster. They looked like some guys that were going to work, to tell you the truth.
They probably broke the law doing the speed limit. You know what I mean? That's why they did that to them. That's what happens. You know, you go to speed limit, they still get you for speeding. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just something, because that cop hauled us from Mission to Winter, and I know it was 40 minutes later.
Yeah.
Before I pulled into Winter, and it just had happened. There was cops all blocked there. I got a little video. I'll be shoot you a copy, you know.
Shoot me a copy, because I'd like to check that. You know, and these Indian cops, what they doing jamming over there trying to help these Washita cops, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
how come they
ain't
protecting and serving on the reservation?
That's what they're doing. That's what it looked like to me. They went over there to defend the Washita cops.
Yeah,
you know, help them out, and they don't need no help. You know,
they never helped us, huh?
Nope. Anyway, I just seen that, and I said, and I was thinking about, you know, like about violence, how the Americans, I was listening to them. They're talking about violence, and this guy said, yeah, since we got the stimulus checks, people have been buying guns with stimulus checks. You know, what a bunch of baloney that is.
Yeah,
man, everybody I know, when they got a stimulus check, they're so broke they needed it. They bought cars, washing machines, or whatever. Ain't nobody thought of buying or wasting it on no gun, you know?
Shit, groceries, man.
They're trying to throw some smut so the government don't give us no money, you know. And then they're all saying, they're all talking about there's lack of counselors over here, you know, lack of counselors and no mental health for the hell. These people, there's people nuts all the time walking around. That guy who shot up in Chicago or north of Chicago, how he dressed up like a girl to get away? Look at his video. That guy's a nut. I mean, but they sold him 4 guns. You know, a guy like that walks in and buys guns and they just sell them to him, you know? And he been arrested. He got arrested for threatening to kill people with a bunch of knives. They didn't do nothing to him. They said, well, no, I'll file a complaint. How? I've been arrested a bunch of times and was never without someone filing a complaint. Just take you to jail. You know,
the cops come up to you. Walking across the street.
The cops just come up to you and take you to jail. That's what they do, you know. And you know, I got Layla and Phillip on, too. You guys, if you want to squeeze in some kind of way, you know. You might have to slap some grease in to get, because we're pretty tight today.
You know?
We ain't even no room for air. We're just going, you know. But, you know, to
get on in there, guys.
Yeah. To me, the reason why there's violence in this country is because the Americans promote violence. Look at how all these shooters dress. These shooters dress like SWAT. They dress like Navy SEALs. They dress like military.
Army.
So they're dressing up like that to go shoot somebody up. So they're living out their fantasy. That's the influence, being a SWAT or being a whatever, being a cop. So first of all, the cops are the bad influence on them.
Yeah.
And having all these guns, then the military, and then the leaders, you know. I heard a guy on the news yesterday, he was saying, yeah, we're giving Ukraine a bunch of weapons. We're going to go out and kill some Russians with these weapons. This is an American guy on the radio, you know. You know, they're talking about killing all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you, Joe Biden, even Osama bin Laden, all of them, you know, dropping bombs on people, you know, that's violence. And even right now, today they were getting on China's case for supporting Russia and told them they quit supporting Russia, but at the same time got mad at China for getting in their way over Taiwan. You know, first going to tell, you know, that's how arrogant the American is. You know, they're bullying two superpowers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And these ones that are doing it, these usually old men, look at Biden. Biden's so old, every time he does a speech, he goes off and starts just saying some kind of strange words. He forgets what he's talking about, you know, and he's senile, and you know he sounds like he's gonna start talking good, and then all of a sudden he starts stuttering and goes off. They've been showing videos of him doing that, you know, and I said shit, maybe someone behind him tickling him in the butt or something, you know, because he's you know he's. He's there talking normal. All of a sudden he starts stuttering and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, like he forgets what he's saying. Anyway, then he fell off his bike. He got his leg caught in the chain sprocket, you know? And this guy once talking about wants to get it on with Putin. They were making fun of Putin because Putin was sitting on a horse with no shirt on, you know? You know?
Seen that.
Because Putin probably still works out. He probably could still kick some ass without a gun, you know? But look at all these old leaders. And then that old British guy, what's his name? Prime Minister. Prime Minister.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
Boris something.
Yeah. Yeah, he just quit.
He's always had that bad head.
Yeah.
He just quit.
Well, you know, they're a bunch of, it's all that inbreeding is catching up with them people. That rate, you know?
True that.
You know?
All that hillbilly is coming up.
Look at how they are.
Hillbillies.
They got mad at Prince Harry because his wife is part black. Their own family member, they cut him loose. You know, that's how they don't care about, you know. They don't have no morals when you do that. When you just drop your family member, you know.
Moses God. Yeah. It's all about the Moses God to them too, Tanshi. That's what it is. She's not rich enough. You know, if she was rich enough, they would have covered up her blackness and made her queen right away, you know. No Moses God, so they got to throw her out.
They would have did
castle.
Like they did. like Michael Jackson parked her in a dark, cool building for 6 months. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
My sister Teresa, you know, she was helped out with Michael Jackson's video, and they said he just stayed in a dark trailer outside with no
wow.
light, you know.
Well,
you know, so he
can
be.
I don't blame him. He's trying to hide his whiteness.
I seen an Indian guy walking into the tribal building wearing a white shirt, tie, dress, slack, shoes. And the top of his head was painted blonde. You know?
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Especially, we got to cover it up.
Yeah, all in a briefcase, you know, all in a business pack, you know. I
yeah.
said, you know, it's
you
like this cop doing the pit. It's like a cop doing a pit maneuver. You see, they're trying to imitate
yeah.
the Washichu.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they're not Jeez, proud of what we are. They're not proud of our own culture. You know, they're not
that's
proud of what we do.
The most beautiful culture.
Yeah, they should be proud of us, you know, and just strut over there
yeah.
like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need to dye their hair blonde, you know. What kind of hell is that? Don't even match, you know. Like I said the last time. It looks like a big poop, you know, some of it sticking out of the water and some still under the water, two different colors. You know,
that is
Phillip says, I'll keep quiet a little longer.
Come on out, Phillip.
He says, they're going crazy over there, you know, you know, talking about poop, you know. Anyway, but yeah, but
okay,
you
I'm
know
not
that's how. It,
but I am poophead there.
Yeah, and you see how they are. Look at in that Brittany Griner. They're all fighting for her. She's innocent. The Russians planted it on her. Don't trust the Russians.
Yeah.
And then she pled guilty. She pled guilty to it. To that, and then what did she say? I accidentally put it in my suitcase. How do you accidentally do that?
You don't.
How do you accidentally even have that stuff? You know, the thing is, when you're an athlete representing like her, they're proud American, you know. But
gold medal winner.
Yeah, look at. And then she already been busted for domestic violence where she was the man, you know, she beat up the woman,
oh,
you know,
no.
and then she gave, today she gave the Russian a picture of her wife.
Oh, so
that's
great.
The worst thing you want to do with the Russians because the Russians ain't into the gay scene yet. They haven't adapted to that level yet, you know, and you know,
yourself.
Yeah, the Russians don't see that as normal. They probably said, man, this girl needs help here, you know. You know, you see the what goes on in America, people are so used to seeing it. They don't know that the outside world looks at it like they're crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was young, we used to have all kinds of fancy hairdos. You know, we was trying to look like Elvis and stuff. But never did try to dye my hair blonde, you know, or try to dye my hair turquoise or something, you know. You know, but that's what they do. So, you know,
Wombley.
Like that Bobby Cremo or whatever his name is, that guy shot up, crawled on the building, started shooting people. You know, he shot up some people, and the only ones was sitting left was a little 2-year-old baby. Killed their mother and father. You know? And he has, like, his hair. You should have seen his hair. He had 3 colors of hair, like Neapolitan, like rainbow, a turquoise, red, blonde, and another color. Gee, who would take their time to do all that to their hair, you know? See, sometimes I don't even comb my hair. Hey, you know?
Yeah, well, that's, got Juan time Blee going, that's Juan Blee going all natural.
Yeah. Ain't got time to be dyeing my hair 5 different colors just to walk around, you know? And yeah, I remember my brother one time, he fixed me up looking good, fixed my hair up looking good, you know. I went to school looking like, yeah, well, that was back in the 50s, right? Back in the 1950s. So you can imagine what kind of hairdo I had back in the 50s.
Oh, geez.
You have a duck tail.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely had a duck tail. I had it all fluffed out in the front, and it came down the middle of my forehead. Like, see, I was looking like Fabian or Elvis, you know. I went to school. I must have been about 3rd grade or something like that. I went to school, and all the little girls said, "Look at Richard." You know,
and that's when it all started. That's when it all started.
That's when I started lining them up in columns of 2s. You know, after that I was a big. After that I was a big hit. You know, they'd give me a broomstick and I'd start singing Elvis Presley songs. No.
Hey.
Well, yeah.
And remember when Chuck what's his name? Chucky or Chuck, the guy who made the twist?
That,
what's the guy's name?
Chubby Checker.
I said Fat Chuck. I was saying Fat Chucky.
Fat Chucky.
Yeah. Fat Chucky, when he invented the twist, they came out with these shoes called the Twisters. You tied them on the side. My brother Larry, he was the first one I ever seen with a pair of twisters. Oh, man, I was proud of my brother. Man, he had a pair of twisters on, man, you know.
Oh,
man. my
brother Larry knew how to keep with it back in the days, you know. When we went to jail, we were looking sharp on our way to jail, you know.
We weren't
some bums getting all the jail. We had twisters on and flamingo boots and all that, you know. You know.
Styling in jail, man.
Yeah, with a Fabian haircut, you know.
Now appearing in Cell Block 5.
Yeah. Walking around looking like Frankie Avalon, you know. Yeah. Philip probably wasn't even around, don't even know who them guys were, you know.
Oh, I know who they are.
What year were you born, Philip?
65.
Jeez. Oh, 65. You showed up right after the Beatles came out, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, your mom probably had you. You probably had a little Beetle haircut when you was when she was pushing you around.
No,
just up as Ringo. Beetle boots on.
Yeah. We're all like that, but we're all like that, but in the meantime, Members didn't have none of them influences because he was still in the res. His influences were still Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull and all that, you know. So
he was still running on the res, man.
Yeah, he was still running around like a buck Indian, you know.
I still had my breech cloth on.
Yeah.
Bone arrow and breech cloth. Breech cloth.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, bone arrow.
Bone arrow and beach towel.
Yeah. And all scarred up, you know. And all scarred up, bloody face from eating kidney, you know.
Yeah, eating raw kidney, going down, running around.
Yeah, can you imagine that, the difference how the government split Indians up, you know? One side Indians was running around like Bimber, and the other side I was running around like Frankie Avalon.
Wow. God dang.
Larry was running around like Fat Chucky.
That's Domino. Fat Chucky. Chucky.
Yep. Hey, Wombly, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did the government force your family to move to California?
No.
I don't know if they did, but they more or less.
Yeah.
What they did was
stealing, you know.
Simulation.
Yeah, simulation is what that was all about.
What they did was they went, you know, like my dad just got out of the military and has family and broke, having, you know, this guy's a war veteran hero, you know, but the government ain't helping them out. And he's got all us kids, you know. So we'll send you to California and we'll give you a job, we'll give you a house, well, you know, you're gonna live good, just go there. They just bullshitted them. And so next thing you know we was on the train we left in was, remember those locomotives they have in the cowboy movies? That's the kind of train we left in, huh, Larry? One of those old black locomotives, yeah, that go choo, 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 you know.
Yeah.
We left out of Valentine, Nebraska, yeah. And then we got to Omaha, then we hopped on another train. And that's the first time we ever seen a black person, you know.
Wow.
Got to Omaha. And I remember, Larry, when you flushed the toilet, it was hot water. In that train.
Yeah,
we was running loose on that train. Good thing we didn't unhook that sucker over in the Rocky Mountains someplace, Larry. We were little Indian kids and we were curious as all hell about everything, you know. We was inspecting every little detail, you know.
There's nothing. They had nothing to come back to.
Yeah.
So was it true when you got to California? Did they do all that stuff?
No. They put us in the projects in L.A. They put us in the projects. They put us in the projects in L.A. And they, and that's, you know, so they gave, like, my dad a couple months rent. And a couple, maybe a check or two and some food vouchers, and that was it. And he had to go out and get a job, look for a job, and we were in the projects, man. We never seen black people, Chinese people. We didn't see nothing. Well, we got off that train in Grand Central Station in L.A., we were dressed in winter clothes. And it, and remember, L.A.'s tropical, palm trees and all that. It was, we jumped out of that train in winter clothes, you know. But we were, that was a whole new world to us, that big city with all these different races, and put us in the projects with black people. We'd never seen black people in our life. Can you imagine that? Our Oriental people. We never seen Oriental. We seen white people, but white people were always police, cops, or doctors. And then they had Mexicans. You know, the Mexicans were the same color as us, but they were different. They talked Spanish, and, you know, it was different, you know. Yeah, we were, it was a hell of a thing. So my dad had to struggle. He got a job, but me and Larry, you know, we were young, but we were hustlers, you know. Like, we used to go into the L.A. market where all the trucks unload. That's why I got fell in love with driving big trucks, because used to go in there and we used to tell them Italians, hey, can we clean your trash, you know, and we'd clean their stuff and they'd pay us in produce, you know, corn, carrots. So we'd come home, we'd be hauling carrots and food home to moms, you know.
Oh, my
gosh. And, yeah, we are hustlers, though, Larry, you know.
Yeah. You had to, you know. Yeah, you had to. You're in the city, you know.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You couldn't go.
Yeah,
we were. Just a prey, dog.
Hey, I tell you what. One time my mom sent me to the store to buy some hamburger. On my way back from the store, two black girls robbed me and they beat my ass. And they took my hamburger, took my money. Well, the next day I was walking with my brother Larry, and I told Larry, I said, look, there they are. The next thing, Larry was knocking these black girls all across the archway, you know.
Wow.
You know, for robbing me, you know. Larry, my brother Larry, man, he was a scrapper, man, when we were young, you know. He probably still is. Now he's a nighttime scrapper. He probably wears a mask and runs around, beats up while he shoots you every night, you know. Well, tell him what he does. Yeah. My brother Larry, man, he could scrap. I seen him scrapping. One time they jumped him into a gang, about six or seven Mexicans. The way they jump you in, boy, they jumped on him, and he was scrapping with them, man. I seen blood flying on them, too.
Ooh.
And, you know, man, I was there watching this stuff. And then when they got done, they all hugged each other. Then they had to recomb their hair again. You know, they whipped out. They used combs back in them days, combed their hair. And I said, damn, what kind of friendship is this? You know, just beat the shit out of each other and then hug and laugh and then go pull a burglary. Break into the Coke factory and shoot some pop out the windows, you know.
Hey, there's a kid up here. You
hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Larry. Good thing they don't have statute of limitations, because we'd be admitting to a lot of shit on this radio show, you know. Every time I turned around, Every time I turn around, I catch us admitting the shit that we didn't get caught for, you know?
You got to be doing life right now.
I was talking about that time me and my brother Freddie got into a train and we were trying to start that sucker up. Good thing we couldn't start it now.
Oh, no.
We would have started that sucker up, we'd have been on the news for a week. You know? Man, we were turning every knob you can imagine on that train trying to start it up. Yeah, we're crawling all over. Yeah, we just wanted to drive the train, you know. We're all disappointed when we left because we couldn't start it, you know. Man, we should go to the airport and steal an airplane, you know.
Just to see how it runs.
Yeah. Yeah, we're Indian. See, the bad thing about Indian kids is Indian kids really like to investigate things and look at things. You know, how does this work? How does that work? You know, can you ride it? That's another thing you want to do. Can you ride it? You know, if you can ride something, we're going to get on it, you know. You know, so that's the difference between us and other kids. I see other kids are scared to get on stuff. But now we'll get on a horse or any damn thing to ride it, you know. You know, ride a dog, ride, you know. You know, we'll ride anything, you know. Shit. Living in the crowd. Yeah. Res kids living in the city with all the Mexicans and blacks and everything else. Man, that was a whole different world, man. We were running loose. I even think Larry had a girlfriend then. I even think Larry was already doing it. You know?
Yeah. All those new toys in the city.
Yeah. Yeah, because Larry had some, I seen them and those older guys, they had some girls, you know.
Larry.
Yeah.
Larry said he took a little black girl home, too.
Yeah, Larry, hey, Larry didn't care what color it was, tie that much. Larry wasn't discriminating on us, and even if they had hairy legs, he didn't care.
Man, Larry said it was all good.
Yeah.
You know, we lived in the projects there in LA, and in one building there was three families. It was us, and in the middle there was the black family, and on the end was the Chinese family.
Yeah.
It was a little black girl named Barbara Ann. Yeah, and my sister Bonnie was all real fascinated by her hair. She was kept grabbing her hair.
Yeah, she came to the house and we all took turns feeling her hair. You
wow.
know, we're all rubbing it. Cause we never felt no hair like that before. You know, And I remember I asked my mom, I said, how come Lyle has eyes like that? Lyle was that Chinese kid.
Yeah.
There was Arnis and Lyle was older guy. I said, what happened to them guys? You know, they look like something happened to their face because they were Orientals,
yeah.
You know? You know? Because they had slanted eyes and stuff. We didn't know that was born like that. We thought something happened, you know.
What were they named? Arnis, the other one named Lucky, and the little one named Needle.
Arnis and
Lucky, Arnis,
and
Needle.
And who?
Lucky.
Yeah, and Lucky. Lucky was the young one, and Lyle was the old one, the oldest one.
The older one. Lyle, Arnis, Lucky, and Lito was the new one.
Lito.
Yes.
remember their dad was a little Chinese guy. He wore the apron and had a butcher's knife in his hand all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God dang.
Yeah.
What do they call those? Cleavers.
Yeah, okay, but we were fresh off the res, man, and here we are right there in this kind of a world real quick, you know.
Well, they offered
a better life. Had fun.
Yeah, they offered a better life, but it wasn't a better life when we showed up. They didn't put us in Beverly Hills.
Terrible.
You know, what do you take some Indians and drop them off in the middle of the projects in the ghetto? How? I'm telling you. And this was back in the, there was no computers. There was no TVs or nothing. I remember when my mom or somebody got a record player. Remember you guys got a record player? Man, all day long they're sitting there playing records, man. Elvis Presley, you know. Johnny Cash. Yeah. They sit right in the living room and just listen to the songs, you know?
Yeah.
I remember, yeah, Marty Robbins, you know?
Yeah. Chubby Checker.
Yeah, Chubby, a Fat Chucky.
Yeah. You know, all that stuff used to go on back then, you know? Hey, those record players, remember they had... three speeds to them. What is it? 45, 78, and 33.
33. Yeah. And they had, and the singers, they had Pat Boone, Elvis Presley,
yeah.
Dinah Shore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
Lawrence Long.
Yeah. And shit. And Elvis was. Elvis was a new thing then. Elvis was the rock and roller, you know.
Yeah, that's where rock and roll started off.
Yeah. Because I used to, they used to give me.
Oh, shit, I can't see that singer.
They used to give me a broom and let me imitate Elvis. My ass.
What? That's his name. Remember, he used to hang in with Elvis and I mean that. Great Balls of Fire.
No, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis, yeah. Yeah, 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 Jerry Lee Lewis. Great Balls of Fire, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and all of those were the ones, and then when we got older, suddenly it changed to Creedence Clearwater, the Beatles, and all that, you know. But
the hippie
man, by that time it was prison time or jail time for us.
Yeah,
we were going through the stages living in California, man. Let me tell you, you know,
in California, first I went to juvenile hall. I come back and told Rick, I said, man, they give Jell-O in there.
you get cornflakes. He said, you get cornflakes. Man, I could, after that, I couldn't wait to get to juvenile hall. You know?
I said, you like it.
Yeah. And they give, you know.
You like it, didn't you?
Yeah, shit. When I went to juvenile hall, shit, in there, you iron your pants, you make them soaking wet, you use this soap, and you put creases on your pants while they're soaking wet, you let them dry, and you have creases now. And, man, I put on them khaki pants. Them days, you didn't wear them down your butt crack. You wore them up to your chest. Shit, I put them on. And I strut across juvenile hall yard, you know.
We call it Bonnaroo. Bonnaroo down.
Bonnaroo down, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even care about. I remember they were letting me out that one time, and I told Mom, I said, "Come pick me up next weekend." I thought I had a choice, you know. But man, that was wild back in them days. Then they moved us out to the San Gabriel Valley. In them days, it was like country, but now it's not. In them days, they had fields out there. Where we lived, remember, there, we lived, we had, the driveway was lined with orange trees, lemon trees, grapefruit trees. Yeah, we had fig tree. Remember, on the side of the house was a big apricot tree. And we had avocado tree, and we had every kind of tree you could think of back there, fruit trees, plum trees too. Yeah, we lived out there, and then in the back up there was the avocado groves and the orange groves.
Wow,
man, I don't know how anybody could starve back in them days. Man, there was nothing but fruits all over the place. And I started working for these Italians. They had a fruit stand. And we were picking strawberries.
He lived in San Fernando.
Yeah. What was that? Richie Valens and them.
Yeah, Richie Valens. Richie Valens and remember Ricky Nelson and the Ozzy and Harriet. You know how we also lived through some mean racism. Those white people were racist.
Shit, they've always been like that. Watch it.
Yeah.
They look down on, they still do that. Actually, they still look down on people. They think they're inferior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's causing all this, that's what's causing all this rift now. Like you were saying, if any one of those Indian cops that pulled those Indian boys over, went off the reservation, tried to walk across the street jaywalking, they'd arrest his ass too. They don't care if they're Indians, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's really messed up how it is. But, you know, like they did that to us, but that's why I think right now, I have a good, you know, I had some good education, and Larry, we had good education on the American society, and you can see why there's so much violence out there. Yeah. They breed violence. The police are violent. The politicians are violent. You know, everybody's violent out there, you know.
You know, even these churches are violent. Even these churches, look at all the babies they kill, and then they're trying to protect. What is that? What is it? Some kind of Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
You know, they're just a bunch of, you know, they're some of the best liars in the world. The Washita people, man. You know, they lied through everything. They still lie today. You know, and there's some of the, look at all these racist people that sit in Congress and the Senate, everywhere, president on down, you know?
Horrible.
They're racist. You know,
you
they
see,
just
what about
Kamala Harris up there for props.
And how about the Catholic school, the nuns, and the brothers? Man, those are some mean people. They knew how to invent torture.
Yeah. Country, I think those Catholic priests and stuff that came, I think they were Hitler, some of Hitler's regime that came out of there and got hit by the Catholics, you know what I mean?
The Pope's was, yeah.
You know, the bunch of Hitler's people that came and joined Christianity or whatever, you know, Catholic organization, and they got put into these schools. They tortured the shit out of us, man. You know,
they sat me on a chair in front of the class, and three nuns with yarn. They made me hold the ends of the yarn, and they walked around in circles with this yarn. And telling me how bad I was and all this and all that. They were winding me up with yarn. I looked like a cocoon. I was all full of yarn.
They
covered me totally with yarn. You know, who could think of doing stuff like that? And plus, remember they used to give us whippings with a paddle, Larry, with the holes in it? And then they'd hit your fingers with rulers. And then they had a strap with chrome rings on. They was hitting me and this black kid in front of the classroom, pull her pants legs up, and was whipping us in front of the classroom. And, try not to cry. But, you know, I'm only like third grade. I wasn't no teenager. We're talking about
young,
third, fourth, second. Okay.
Seven.
I had to be third grade because I was third grade when we moved to La Puente. So when I was at Catholic school, when they was abusing me, this was up to third grade. You know? You know?
I remember
I was playing hooky from school and Larry called me. Larry said, "You better get to school." Larry said, "You better get to school, man. They're hunting for you." That made me not even want to go to school. When Larry told me they were hunting for me, I didn't even want to go to school. I said, "Damn, that's the last thing I need," you know. And so, but Catholic school was really something.
It was rugged. Yeah, Catholic school was torture, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, they did some wicked things, those people, man. You know, when a guy tells you, don't jump off, and he's saying, don't stoop off, and you don't understand him, and you jump anyway, you know, and they punch the shit out of you for it, you know. You know, old German saying, don't stoop off, whatever that meant, you know. Don't jump off, shit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the Catholics did us a number, I tell you that much, you know. And then when they put me in public school, them teachers were racist, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I got in a fight at school, I was the one that started it, they say, you know. And then white kids would be messing with me, you know.
You know, they knew that stuff too, but they still did it. They still blamed you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Washington's always blamed, you know. And that's why I say, no matter what an Indian says, they don't believe that. Anyways, the minute a Washington comes up and says something, they believe that Washington. It doesn't. Even our own people do that, you know. Washington never tells a lie, you know. We're the ones that are liars.
The ones who ended up taking care of us was the Mexicans, you know. Because they wanted us in their gang because we could fight, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Larry was in the gang or all that. And then I was in the gang. And one thing led to another, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the result, Layla, of relocation. So because of relocation, I went through my journey and my brother Larry went through his journey and my family went through their journeys. My younger family members, they didn't go through what we went through. But the journey we went through, my brother and us, was that's why we ended up being locked up, jail, fighting, everything we had to do to survive. You know, and getting lied to, getting blamed for everything that went wrong, you know. And that was wicked, you know. And it made us become some kind of way. And that's why we're the way we are, me and my brother. You know? Yeah.
You're still some kind of way. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You and Larry are still some kind of way, Tosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's lovely.
The only difference between the bad part is me and Larry. Larry went to Northern California and I stayed in Southern California. So we weren't we weren't the same place. We were tearing up North and South of California at the same time.
both ends of the state.
Yeah, the cops knew us all over the place. Every place you go, you know, they knew our name, you know.
When I left the neighborhood and Rick got in trouble, the cops would grab him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Oh, you're Iron's brother. Oh, I'm going to go away." Another one.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're another one. You're another asshole, you know? Yeah. And what's cool is we don't think we look alike, right? You know? But yet, to them, we all looked alike. Me, Larry, and Freddie.
Yeah. Damn.
We looked alike, you know? I mean, you could accuse us of each other's crimes real easy.
Oh, no.
You know?
Use each other's names.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that, too. You know, let's put it this way. We had the police flabbergasted.
He's got a home jury on one.
Yeah.
God,
yeah. Got hung jury, all kinds of pictures of one of us doing something. They didn't know which one it was. You know?
Damn.
You know?
Got a hung jury.
Yeah, scratching their head. We don't know which one of these guys is guilty. One of them did it, though. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, that's the fruit of relocation. And we weren't the only ones. You know, there was a lot of Indians that went through hell when they went on relocation. And they sent Indians all different parts of the country. They sent some to Philadelphia. They sent some to Cleveland. They sent some to Chicago. They sent some to Florida, some to Texas. And you could tell where each one, like in the summertime, I was walking downtown here on the rest, and here I see a girl walking with a big afro. You know, I said, damn, she must have, you know. And remember some of them girls, even, what's her name, came back. Was that Eileen? She came back from Philadelphia with an afro, you know. So sometimes, you know, depending where we was raised at. We was raised in L.A., so we were pachucos. You know, it depends where you were raised at, you know. And I met an Indian guy that was down from Cleveland, down from where you're at, Philip, and I met him in prison, you know. And you could tell he was Indian, but he had these really city way about him, you know. But that's the product of relocation. I don't think nobody from relocation came out in a success story. You know? I mean, none of us came out movie stars or millionaires, you know?
Well, we all hit the front. Minnesota, were they relocated there?
Yeah, but, you know, there's already Indians in Minnesota, you know. Like, there's no Indians. In California, the California Indians, most of them, you didn't even know they were Indians back in them days.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, the Big Sur Indians went extinct.
Yeah.
I think they died of Big Sur.
Yeah, because they were so racist, you know, Indians mostly just assimilated. You know, you know, and wanted to give a shout out to Red Crow, Red Hair Crow in Berlin. He's tuned in on the chat, so I'm glad he showed up, you know. And but relocation was a hell of a program, and the government tried that to Indians. And I don't see no success in that. Thus, to me,
so
Indian success is in this culture. Huh?
What we're doing then was just trying to bust up the tribe.
Yeah.
They weren't doing you any favors. They're trying to bust up, you know, the tribal relationships.
Yeah. It was like you know, back in the day, our people had hard troubles, you know, because we were raised with different cultures of people. And, you know, some were raised with blacks, we were raised with Mexicans. I don't know any of them that were raised as white guys and came out of that all right, you know. Most Indians were put in cities where there wasn't white people. They put us in with cultures like blacks, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Orientals. I don't know no Indian that they just slapped out there in the general population of white people.
Strange.
They didn't do that. Every Indian got sent straight to a project's apartments where housing where low income people live, foreigners and all that, you know. And yeah, it was pretty damn rough, you know. And the bad thing about when they put you out like that, send you to a city like us, we're rest people. We're used to having eating. We weren't starving on the rest. We live in a place where we go hunt deer, we grow stuff, everything. But now we're in the city. There's no way, you know, we can get free food. Everything came from money, and we didn't have no money. So what do you do? You know, what do you do? How does a man and woman raise five kids? Back then were five of us. How my dad's barely making it. They have to pay rent. And all of us kids, the good thing, all of us learned something. I mean, some of us were even shining shoes. You know, we hustled. We used to go door to door asking people if we could pull weeds.
Wow.
You know, and we'd get paid quarters for pulling weeds. And that's how most of the people started knowing us for being workers.
Well,
you know, because we used to work, you know, we'd go do anything, you know, and, you know, pulling weeds and doing stuff nobody else would do, you know, and even some white people started liking us. Because we work, you know.
Yeah,
it was a couple.
Back in the day, before all this relocation stuff, they took these Indians, and they at the agency, they were going to give them $2,500 a head with their children, and then a lot of these Indians back then sold their Indian rights. But that's how they did it too. Kind of like, there's a lot of them on the reservation that are, their kids are enrolled, but they have an N-E behind their name, which is non-enrollee. And one of my dad's brothers did this. He took all his kids. I think he had five kids, $2,500 a piece, and then they gave him a one-way train ticket to Omaha, Nebraska, to assimilate, to become Washichu. And they promised him that he'd be Washichu, he'd be, you know. But when he got over there, it was a big lie, see. They took all his money. When he had no money, he had nowhere to go, so he had to come back to the reservation. A lot of these guys did that on the reservation. So there's a lot of these Indians that sold their Indian rights, just like that Cobell lawsuit. When those first checks came out, there was a letter attached to it saying that if you accept the settlement, you could never sue the United States government again for any wrongdoing. And if you didn't sign that letter that was attached to it and send it back. So that's how they do these things. They make Indians desperate for money. Then they add something to it, and these Indians think the government's doing them a favor. See? Like my uncle, he thought he could be white. He went out there. He found out that it wasn't true. See, and so the only thing that was useful was his money. And once they caught him out of all his money, they didn't accept him. You know, they wouldn't even give him a job. See? So he had to come back to the reservation. So my dad, you know, let him live at their old place in Kyle. And they're still there. You know, they're still there. See? And that's the thing. That's how they calmed the Indian a lot. You know, they wanted, even to this day, look at what the tribe's doing. They won't even, if me and you went to the tribe and tried to buy some tribal land, they won't let us do it.
Gosh.
You see, the tribe, the tribe can't sell India land to the Indian. And then the result of it is that go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What you waiting for? Talk.
Yeah, don't forget the adoption, where the ship got all them kids and babies all over the U.S. and Canada, and sometimes they even said that the baby was born dead and they shipped them off. Remember?
Yeah, even babies they thought were dead. Or they told the mothers they were dead and they just kept the babies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Relocation
is like that. That's what relocation was about. Assimilating the Indian.
Assimilation.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of Indians that in these cities that don't know where they came from, see, because their parents died. See, it's crazy how they did that. See.
Yeah.
And they're still doing it.
Yeah, I know. But right now, what's bad is they don't need to do all that no more, because the Indians just going that way naturally.
Yeah. They're,
you know, like those cops joining in with the Washichu and that bus, you know?
Yeah.
Washichu walking down, going into the tribal building with blonde hair, trying to look like a white guy with a suit on, but his hair blonde, you know, and our people, they lost it, you know, they think they're Americans. The ones that got jobs, you go look at them, go ask them, they start playing God with you. The hospital workers, you know,
everybody,
every Indian that's got a job down there treats the rest of the Indians like shit.
Yep.
You know.
And plenty, if when, like that guy you was talking about with that suit walking in, all these Washichus, they're Washichu minded, so they say, look at how sharp he looks, you know, all this other shit, to try to belittle these other Indians, you know. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's our own people. are doing it for them today, you know, with everything. They try to, you know, and that we've got to somehow reverse that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's got to be done regardless. We want to survive. We got to go back to our old ways. You know, we can't be dressing up with looking like Herman Munster. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's how it is. You know, we're at a bad time. You know, of life where we're losing all our spirituality, we're losing our culture, our you know, like now to learn Lakota, it's costing money, you know,
when
it shouldn't be that way.
You know, look at South Dakota. They gave all Washita school over there in the East funding, like state federal funding, to teach Lakota to all these Washita kids. And so it's funded just like regular school to teach Lakota, but yet they won't do it on the reservation. And our people, our leaders won't even fight for it, you know. And that, it pisses me off, but, you know, then now there's all these guys that never spoke Lakota growing up telling Lakotas that words don't exist or that's not how they pronounce them. That's not, you're speaking wrong. And these guys learned it all in a book. Trying to be Lakota.
Yeah.
And all these Lakota speakers, they don't say nothing. See?
Upside down.
You know, because it's their own, it's their own people, so they hate to say anything. See? And when you do say something, it's all your people that gang up on you. Washitos don't do it anymore. They have the Indians do it for them. See? So it's turning pretty bad, you know, and it's... it's getting worse, Kanshi. It's getting worse, you know. Like I say, how can a Washita school get funding to teach Lakota when there's no Lakota kids there, see? It's all Washita.
Strange.
You know, and they're getting funded. And now that there's some kind of funding coming in, all these Wanobis, all these guys that were Indian haters that wanted to be Washita at one time, trying to be Washita. Now they're all there. Now they're the experts, you know. And those of us that hung in there and fought all these years, we're wrong, you know, for being Lakota again, you know. It's crazy how our own people are doing this.
Yeah. That's why I sit over here or I'm someplace and I say, man, you know, I come back, you cross the Missouri River, that's supposed to be treaty land, but it's all white people own it.
All
and
stolen farmland.
You know, and you go to Winter, all that's supposed to be treaty land. It's supposed to be, actually, Rosebud Res is supposed to be all the way to the Missouri River. And Indians ain't even welcome over there. You know, they have water over there, lakes, rivers. If Indians go there, they'll run them out.
Yeah. They act like they own it. And that's, it's all stolen land. Can't you see? And that's what I'm saying. What happened to all our leaders? These so-called tribal councils are helping the Washita. They ain't helping us. Get rid of those things. Get rid of what doesn't work. You know, Indians, they think we're all insane. That's why they probably say we're still incompetent because nobody's all our tribal council, whatever they want to call them, these Washita-minded people are the leaders. You know, they put a guy in there. Look at the guy from the Alasu tribe. He's never made any kind of statement or come out, defended Lakota or nothing since he got in there. And when that protest was going on in Rapid City, they said Killer was the last one to pull in, and he had a suit on, like he was talking about. You know?
Yeah.
And he didn't say very much. You know, he just... And there was all these other tribal leaders, like Frazier and all of them over there, you know, helping the Indian. And Oglala was supposed to have a good... Look at him. I guess he walked in way late, didn't want to say nothing. Looked like a Washiju, you know? Dressed like a Washiju.
Stoutenvember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling you, remember, they're mad because, Philip, remember, you sent me a message. These Chinese guys bought some land next to a military base in North Dakota. And what I was tripping on was, how are they still selling their land? I don't care where the Chinese buy land at or what. I don't care next to it. I don't care what they do with the Washitu, what their trip is. But I was saying, North Dakota, you know, that's Indian land. How are they still selling land, Indian land, to foreign people?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do they get away with that, you know? I mean, from what I understand a few years ago, that they said most of the ranchers down in Nebraska and some of them places don't even have legal deeds for their land. They're just squatters.
Yep.
They just moved in 100 years ago and just took over, even though it was treaty land or what. So really, there's a legal excuse to go and find out who owns land, investigate it, and throw them out. You know? There's a legal reason, excuse, but they won't do it.
The tribal council, the leadership that we've got, and all these Rosebud, Pine Ridge, all of them. You know, the only guy that ever makes any kind of noise and stands up for is Frazier, but he's only one man. See, if he gets some kind of backing from these other tribal presidents, so maybe he could do something. But people like Tiller, like I say, he has never made a statement or said anything about the Oglala Sioux tribe. I mean, there's nothing. There's not a peep from that dude. You know?
Uh-huh.
And like I say, you know, that's the kind of leadership we got. He's a Washington politician that I don't know why they thought that he was going to change things. You know, he's a sellout. He was a sellout before. You know, and now we're stuck with the guy that doesn't even want to defend the Oglala Sioux tribe. Now, he's probably more ashamed of us than anything else. That's why he hangs out with the Washita people in Rapid City.
Yeah, we're, you
that's
know,
kind of
like I said, you know,
so
that's why. That's why, tell you the truth, I don't even get involved in tribal politics because of that. You know, I don't vote, you know, because they're every one of them's just they're like a bunch of, like, membership. They ain't right, you know. They're selling our land from underneath us. They're turncoating. And they got ones that even speak the language, you know. They even speak the language, but yet they're no good, you know. They speak the language and everything, but they're against us, you know. And that's a bad thing, you know, when we have it like that. We, you know,
you know,
they want us to be proud of them for some things, you know. They want us to be proud of them for being able to run for an American office. Look, we made it, you know. And
get rid of it, you know.
But how can we be proud of that? How can we be proud of it when over the years it's proven that it done nothing for us?
Yep.
You know, so the only way we get help is if we just our help comes from each other. Let's put it that way. Our help comes from our own, you know, without the government, from each other. That's the only way we get help. And I think that to work on our spirituality and our culture, we need to express that to our people, you know. We need to express it to our people because they're ignoring all of this, you know. They're ignoring that we're turning. We're pretty close to being 100% American, you know. And I could see if the American government had some kind of respect, you know, and was actually doing something, you know, I could see that, but I don't see them doing that. All I see them doing is being, you know, keep taking and taking and taking. And the more we give to them, the more they take. And the more they think we owe it to them. In their brains, they helped us out, you know. They helped us out. So since they helped us out, we're, you know.
They didn't help us out at all, Crunchy. That's the problem, see. But yet, they make us think that they're helping us out. That's our opinion.
Yeah.
Anything going on in 73, they brought the treaties up. And to appease the Indian, they gave them the Indian Religion Act, see? And they made it seem like they gave the Indians something great. That was done in 63 when Grandpa Pulskrow went, see?
Yep.
And that's how they do it, to give them more time to get rid of us, see? And now our own tribal council and all these people are starting to do it. Look at like I was saying. You can't even argue with the tribal councilman anywhere, even off the reservation, because it's a felony. They'll charge you with a felony for arguing.
Whoa.
With the reservation. You know?
Oh,
and that's
my
how
God.
Far we've gone now. Yeah. See, that's how the laws protect these guys that sit in these offices like crazy. I mean, who does that? You can't even have a conversation with your councilman, a good argument. Because it's a felony charge against you. See?
They got these big old signs. They got big signs in the hospital, in the tribal office. They say, will not be tolerated. In other words, if they make it look like if you go and complain to them, that's showing anger. It's not complaining.
Yeah.
It's showing anger. So if you go over to them and complain, it will not be tolerated. They'll call the cops, they'll haul you out, and they'll file a charge on you.
Treacherous.
Yeah. I took a picture of that sign one day, you know.
Yeah.
Unreal.
You know, but yet, they're the ones that's violent to us. When you go up and say, hey, can I have an appointment? They say, you're supposed to be here at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, I was here at 8. No, you weren't. Or they say, call up at 8. So you call up at 8, they don't answer. You keep calling, then 20 after 8, they say, we said call up at 8 o'clock. Then you call up 5 before 8, they ain't answering, you know? And then they get mad. They say, oh, okay, I'll give you an appointment. They'll give you a date 3 weeks away when you need it right now and you're sick.
Yep. You know, and people are happy with that. You know, I don't understand that, Crunchy. You know, this is it's getting way out of hand now. Like I say, when you can't talk to your district representative without saying the F-bomb or anything else, that's not how it's supposed to be. You know what I mean?
You shouldn't have to
won't fire people.
Yeah.
They won't fire people. Like they got Indians working in offices for 20, 30 years. And they're just effing people around. And you can't get them fired or nothing.
Like a civil servant.
Yeah, some bad stuff.
You know, it's getting way out of hand. Honestly, the way I look at it is, you know, we gotta get rid of that, whatever that system is. It's, you know, since 1934, how has it helped us? What good has it done us? You know, we're losing all our rights. We're losing all our land. They're using our money to buy our land, and nobody's even defending that, see? And yet, when you mention it to these so-called highly educated people, they'll argue with you on how, because they're on the council, how this is right. It's, the white people did this for us. The white people did. I mean, they defend Washita more than they do us. You know, and that's why I say, get rid of that system. I've been saying it for a long time, you know, but yet people, our own people don't seem to understand. You know, and like what you're saying, the Supreme Court said the Black Hills ours, but we got to go back in front of Congress. All these chicken shits on the council the furthest they go is Ramcota or Las Vegas when it comes to gambling, you know, to hide from the people. How is it that
I'll tell you what.
Them being in Las Vegas, how is that detrimental to the people on the reservation? The problems are there on the reservation, not in Las Vegas.
You know how they got us real good, Tashi? They got us real good because we started letting them call us Sioux.
Yep. Yep.
You see, people think the whole world calls us Sioux. The treaties are made with the Sioux. The Rosebud Reservation is the Rosebud Sioux tribe, the Oglala Sioux tribe.
Yeah.
So they made it with the Sioux. If you change that to Lakota, then we don't belong here. You Lakotas don't belong here. This ain't the Lakota Sioux tribe. This ain't the Lakota tribe. This is a Sioux tribe. We made treaties with the Sioux. You guys don't get nothing. If you want to stay your Lakota, then get out of here. So our people are stuck. We can't get nothing because we got to say we're Sioux. You know?
Yeah.
And so there's people that run around, I'm proud to be Sioux, you know? They you know, we're Lakota.
Yep.
We're not Sioux.
We're Lakota.
Yep.
And that's our language. Lakota is our language, and that's who we are. You know, like Nakota and Dakota, brothers and sisters up there. They have the N and D, and we have the L.
So the Sioux is a whole separate tribe, then?
Well, if we say we're Sioux, then we're a different tribe. We're not entitled to anything.
The Great that's Sioux Nation.
Yeah. We're not entitled to nothing because we're not Sioux.
And like I was saying, all these guys that talk about, I want in court with these treaties, those are self-wins. That doesn't have nothing to do with the tribe because the leaders never showed up in court with it, you know? And the treaties are there. Even the Supreme Court said that. But yet, since we live under this 34 government, we have no say because we agreed to live under that is what they said. And they said, you have to have an election to get rid of it. But who are you going to? They could put alcohol and marijuana and all this stuff on a ballot. But yet, they don't want to put the government on the ballot, the treaty, and the 34. But yet, they could put all this bullshit on there. Like I say, alcohol, drugs, marijuana, hemp, whatever the hell else it is, you know. But yet, they don't want to put what belongs to us on a ballot.
What the Oglalas did that were good. What they did good was change Shannon County to Lakota County.
Yeah.
You see, they could have called it Sioux County. So by calling it Lakota County, that's kind of a step in there. But they need to make that step bigger. Every tribe needs to say, you know what, we're not Sioux, we're Lakota, and change our name to the Lakota.
You know, country, they already got a Sioux County there in South Dakota. It's up east there, northeast.
Yeah, I seen that.
That's why they call it Lakota or Gulala County or something. I don't know what they, you know, but these people, they got to understand. We own this land, and they keep taking it free from us. Yeah. Look at those people that live in the, like you was talking about, country. Who allowed them to get the deed or whatever to this land? What Indian gave it to them? You know, those are the questions that these Washitos got to answer, but our leadership don't want to ask that because they're afraid they're going to get their checks cut. You know?
Yeah.
They're afraid they're going to lose their payday, see? And that's the reason why Russell Means couldn't get into this tribal politics, because they said he was too radical. And one thing he did tell them was that he wanted to get rid of that system, see? He wanted to abolish the 34, see? That's what kept him out of office. He ran three times, lost one, won twice, but never served a day as president of the Oglala Sioux tribe. And that was the reason why, see, was because he showed his hand before he got in there. He should have did it instead of talking about it. He should have went in there and just did it, see. And that's the reason why they kept Russell Means out of there.
And well, that was something still on it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He should have kept it quiet. We knew what his intentions were, but he should have kept it quiet until after he got in and did it, see?
Yeah, the other thing is they made it where ex-felons couldn't serve on council or on office.
Well, how come Joe Russell got right back in there?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, They cut that. I remember when Russell there saying he's an ex-felon.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. He was an ex-felon because he is fighting for our people.
Yep. And that's the thing.
And that's why in the beginning the Rosebud the Rosebud Sioux tribe, because Spotted Tail went to Leavenworth for fighting for the people. So that's why. Rosebud said they'll always keep that. They won't be against ex-felons, but now they are. Anyway, you know what? Time fly again. We got to go.
That's what I was looking at.
Once we get going, let's be out until the sun comes up, you know. Still throwing down. But, I like it. So anyway, we got to go. Philip, any last comments? Real quick, though, because we got to go. You can get in without no grease. Anyway, we got to go. So, Atanashi, I'll let you say a prayer and get us out.
I'm going to say a quick prayer and we'll finish it.
And we'll catch you next Saturday.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.